Welcome to Living the Abundant Life program. This is your host, Rachel McLean. Call 772-220-0602 for more information about men's prayer, ladies' prayer, and midweek Bible studies. Watch our live stream at AbundantLifeStuart.com on Sunday mornings at 9:30 a.m. Our mailing address is Abundant Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1349, Stuart, Florida, 34995. Join us as we go to a pre-recorded service with Pastor Jonathan McLean.
Hello and welcome. This is Pastor Jonathan McLean. So glad that you are joining us today for our church program. My wife is with me in the studio. Rachel, welcome.
Thank you. Hello, everyone.
Honey, let's give out the address. I know that sometimes people have a hard time finding us because we are in a temporary rental location until we get our church built. Give the address, service times, and some information like that for those who do not yet have a church home.
We're meeting on Sunday mornings at 9:30 at 770 Southwest 34th Street. That's the Palm City Civic Organization. So come out and join us. And on Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m., we would love to see you there.
And of course, our men's group meets twice a week, and that is for a Monday evening time of prayer and share, and again on Saturday mornings, most weeks at the Berry Fresh. And the ladies meet during the week, don't they?
Yes, we're meeting on Monday evenings at 6 o'clock, and we're studying in Hebrews right now. It's a time of prayer and fellowship and sharing with each other.
Great study, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
All right. Well, we do look forward to meeting you if we have not had that opportunity yet. If you do not have a church home, come out and join us. Services, again, are Sunday morning at 9:30, and of course, we would love to see you. God bless and have a wonderful, wonderful day. We now go to the program that's in progress, recorded November the 17th, entitled With God, taken from Numbers chapter 13 and 14.
Instead of but God, which sort of is like a stop sign and then God. Okay, so whatever you're facing, you come to the end of a dead-end street and then there's God. And when you're at the end of your resource, I understand. I want for us to just look at the amazing power and presence of God that we have from a little different perspective. And I want to just say it this way, with God. Yes, we have God who is there when we're at the end of ourselves, but God actually calls us to interact with Him. And so we as a congregation, God has opened some wonderful opportunities for us. As I was the other evening with Pastor Todd and looking at their property they purchased in their project and thinking how wonderful that is and just kind of celebrating in my heart all the excitement of that. And I thought, here we are. We purchased land back in 2001. And some of you remember those days. We had a very clear leading of the Lord at that time. And the way it happened, we had all these different properties as a church. And God just kind of opened doors and we had this different property where we were on Central Parkway. How many of you ever were with us on Central Parkway? A lot of years, 18 years we were there. So on Central Parkway, we had buildings. God let us do a lot of great outreaches from that region. And there were events where, as many of you know, thousands from the community would come to those events. And as seasons would change, I would have pastors tell me, Jonathan, you've got to keep the big mo going. And the big mo, you know what that word is, the momentum. Got to keep the big momentum going. Well, I'm just going to have to tell you the truth. I never had any big momentum other than God. I just didn't. I just heard what God said and simply focused on being obedient to what God's called me to do. When we had a tragic failure with some of our staff and there was some pain that was associated with that and it was an embarrassment, and we ended up bringing the police and a lot of counsel and a lot of different things happened. I remember a pastor in town that to this day is a very dear friend of mine. He said, Jonathan, you got to just fire all those people and hire people from out of town. You've got big programs. You've got big crowds. You've got all of this stuff happening. And you just need to keep that happening. And I remember going before God and God said, you can do it man's way or else you can do what I've called you to do. And I was challenged at that time. And what the Father said was, I'm not going to help you do it your way. If you want to do it your way, it's going to be your thing. But if you will stay focused on what I've called you to do, then I will be with you and I'll strengthen you and I'll take care of you. And that's kind of how we have got to where we are today. We had a little bit of a difference of opinions with the board at that time. Part of the board said, let's stay on Central Parkway. Part of the board said, no, we need to sell. We need to move down to the other property. And so when I'd meet with the board and half the board was on this side and half was on that side, I realized that we needed an intervention of God to figure out what God was saying clearly, not just to me, but to all of us as a family. And so as I prayed about that, what God put in my heart to do almost seemed impossible to communicate with the leaders and to expect them to actually agree. Because what God put in my heart was, well, why don't we put everything up for sale but not tell anybody? Not going to get a realtor. We're not going to promote it outside the church. There's going to be no signs up. We're not going to do anything. We're going to say, God, you send a buyer to buy whatever you don't want us to have. And then we put prices on things. And I don't think it was even 2 weeks until a man stepped into the office and said, will you sell me this property? And he said, if you would, what would you sell it for? And the price that God had given the board, I gave that man, and that man said, I want to buy it. That's how we ended up where we are. Because we put everything up in God's hand and said, God, you take care of us. You lead us and you guide us. So that's why, in part, we have property down on Willoughby that our county, as well as I don't know how many dozens of people have tried to buy our land. It's a rare week when we don't have one or more offers on our property, people that want to develop it, housing, different things. And so I'm not just interested in talking about how big our God is. I want this morning to remind you that God has this plan, and His plan is He wants to work with us. And that it's not just God is a great and awesome God. God wants to reveal how great and how awesome He is through our life. And so this morning, for the next few moments, I want to take you back to an account that you know very well in Numbers chapter 13 for a couple moments this morning. Numbers 13. You're familiar with this passage. And I want to start with verse 1 because verse 1 sort of puts a context to it. And I'm reading from the New Living Translation, Numbers chapter 13, verse 1. The Lord now said to Moses, send men to explore the land of Canaan, the land I am giving to Israel. Send one leader from each of the 12 ancestral tribes. So Moses did something. What did he do? He did as the Lord commanded. Remember that the spies were sent into the promised land at the direction of God. So many times God gives us an opportunity to look at something and to let God be God in what He's showing us. And I believe that's what God was wanting to do with all of these tribal leaders. We would call them the senior elders of each of the tribes are being sent out. I believe that God wanted to send them so after they'd been in Egypt for over 400 years, and after 400 years of bondage, and the promise of God, I'm going to lead you to a land that flows with milk and honey. I believe that God wanted those senior elders to step into that land and go, wow, look what God has given us. I believe God wanted them to just maybe even have a few tears and just stop as a team and say, we've just got to have a celebration. We need to have a time of shouting here. Look at what God has prepared for us. I really believe that's what God had in mind. I believe that's what the investigation was about. Because don't you know, God already knew it was a land that was flowing with milk and honey. God didn't need them to report to Him and say, okay, God, it's a great land. God knew what He had prepared. He had been preparing this land for them for over 400 years. And now they are there and they're ready. And you know the story. We don't need to belabor it. They're sent, these men go in, they come out, and they do their exploring. And after exploring, verse 25, the land for 40 days, the men returned to Moses and Aaron, the people. They gave a report. You remember the report? Well, I want you to make sure you remember the first part of the report. Because the first part of the report is the important part of the report. After exploring the land, they reported to the whole community what they had seen and showed them the fruit they had taken from the land. They brought back samples. This was their report. We arrived in the land you sent us to see, and it is indeed, what kind of a country? Magnificent. Magnificent. It's a land that's flowing with milk and honey. Here is some of its fruit as proof. Now, they should have got something out of that part of their report, but they didn't say a whole lot about how good the land was, other than the fact that it's everything God told us it was going to be. And then they're going to make a really big deal out of the fact that it's going to be impossible unless God is with them. And that is the message again this morning. With God. The Scripture says all things are possible with God. That to me is the but God. But when the Scripture says, and all things are possible to those who believe, that to me is the with God. We need both sides of it. We need the part to say, yes, there's absolutely nothing that is in the will of God, in the Word of God, in the timing of God, being done by God's means that is impossible with God. Everything that's in His will is possible with God. But God just so chose to use people like us as His messengers, His ambassadors. No, they had to go on with the rest of their report. And so they talk about it in 28 and following. The people living there are powerful, and their cities and towns are fortified and very large. And who did God say was going to inherit their cities? God told them, you're gonna inherit cities you didn't build. You are going, and these are, they should have looked at the walls and say and thought to themselves, think about it. This is the city that God has given us. We're going to be living in those walls. This is what God has prepared. Look how strong and how safe and how secure it is. But that's not what they saw. They saw the vineyards, they saw the prosperity of the land, but they struggled with the fact that there were some giants in the land, Anak, and they go on, the Amalekites live in the Negev, and they go through the whole thing. But then we get to verse 30, and so I want to move from the sending and the exploring and the reporting. The first part of the report is we can't. But the second part of the report is we most certainly can. Most certainly can. I believe it was the moment I woke up the other morning when those words were just forefront in my mind and my thought early in the morning when I first got up, and I just kept hearing this. Jonathan, you most certainly can accomplish what I've called you to do. You most certainly can do it, because it's not you that's going to be doing it. I'm going to do it. I don't know if you recognize this as I do, but I believe the electoral process that we just went through is a call to the Christians to say, our God is at work in our nation. And even when things look impossible, there is nothing that our God is not able to do, but He chooses to do it through us. So many times. And so Joshua and Caleb, thank God for them. Caleb tried to encourage the people as they stood before Moses. And they said, let's go at once. Let's go at once to take the land. I can just see him. He's probably, you know, they're not kids, you know, that Joshua, Caleb, Moses, you know. Moses was what, like 80 when he got to start on his mission. Now we have Joshua and Caleb, and they're young warriors, young in the sense. And they're full of energy, they're full of excitement, and everything they saw encouraged them in God. My prayer is that we as a congregation and as the body of Christ, that everything we will see God at work. You say, well, Jonathan, what if we see there's evil, and what if we see? Yes, well, even when we see that, when Jesus saw the multitudes, He didn't quit His ministry. He had compassion for them, and He was moved to minister to them. I believe everything we see should encourage us in the greatness of our God and God's plans to work through His church. And so Joshua and Caleb, they're like, let's go. Let's go right now. And this is their heart. They are ready to move. They want to get on with the mission, the vision that God had given us. We can certainly conquer it. But the other men who had explored the land with him answered, we can't go up against them. And so Here we are. The majority in this story did not have the heart of God. And they were God's elite team. Now think about that. These were the senior leaders from every tribe, and the majority of them were not listening to God. This is what I believe is so dangerous if we are just religious and we're not powerfully Holy Spirit inspired and we're not hearing what God has to say. Because these were probably recognized as great godly leaders. But the problem was they didn't understand and hear what God was saying in what they were seeing. What they were seeing, they were trying to figure it out with their mind. And they decided it was impossible. And you know what? That's okay. I don't think that's a bad place to come to say this is impossible. But when God is working with us, all things are possible. When God is working with just one Gideon, when God is working with just one individual, in fact, the Word says even the least in the kingdom of God is greater than John the Baptist. After the Word says John the Baptist, there was none greater of the prophets other than John the Baptist. But then it goes on and says that the least in the kingdom of God is greater. And so family, this morning, as I'm still in an anniversary mode. I'm just celebrating the goodness and the bigness of God. I just want to call upon you this morning to recognize that in your family and your family's salvation, there's really only two positions. It's either it's too far and God can't, or He's not, or He will. With your finances, with your personal home management, with all the things in your house, it's either God is going to, or else we won't. We will or we won't. We will or we won't. The question is, if we know what God said, will we cooperate with God? So in the salvation of our family, in the provision of God's resources in our family, is God going to work through us and with us? The answer that I'm going to give is yes, always. Yes, always. Yes, always. So I've been thinking all week these words. Yes, with God, we can certainly advance. I'm praying for some of my family members. I know my sister is as well. I know that some of your family members are on my prayer list too, and you have more. And I want you to know that in this year, I believe that there are some people that are not walking with God where they ought to, but I think even the hardest distracted individuals have to stop and say, something's happening in our nation. Something different is happening right now. Because everything forecasted and broadcast by the secular media was, oh no, it's over. You guys will never be back. There'll never be strength in the church and the nation for faith. There'll never be that kind of faith again in America. But what did God do? Just like that, He awakened His church, and the church worked with God, and God showed up, and God said, no, we're going to push the enemy back, and we're going to give America some more years of missionary work, of revival, of evangelism, of salvation, and yes, of building churches and seeing families and communities brought to Christ. And it's all about the Lord. It's all about the Lord. So we have, they were sent, they were exploring, they reported, and I have to get into chapter 14 to get to the part of the report that is really important. And I'm going to start with verse 6. Two of the men who had explored the land, Joshua son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, tore their clothing. They said to the community of Israel, the land we explored is a wonderful land, and if the Lord is pleased with us, He will bring us safely into that land, and He will give it to us. It is a rich land flowing with milk and honey, and He will give it to us. Do not rebel against the Lord, and don't be afraid of the people of the land. They're only helpless prey. They have no protection. And then here it is, right here in this verse, chapter 14, verse 9. They have no protection, but the Lord is with us. The Lord is with us. I know why I'm alive this morning, because the Lord is with me. The Lord is with me. I trust that you take a little time to look over your life and you document the faithfulness of God to your family, to you personally. And those mountain peaks, those high points, those places where if it hadn't been that God was working not just in the heavens somewhere, but God was showing up maybe in your automobile, maybe out on the job where you work, maybe when you were a child, maybe in the womb, maybe even this past week, you recognized that God was at work yesterday. And I suppose some people would say, Jonathan, you're searching too hard. I trust that all of us can be criticized for searching too hard to see God at work. Go ahead, accuse me of that. So yesterday, we needed the keys to get into the storage unit to get some things out for today. And so I had a couple different key rings. I have kind of a master key ring that has all these storage keys on it. And then I had another key ring that had the key to our storage unit. And it's been the key to the storage unit for probably the last 3, 4, 5 years. It's been on my key ring. And that was on a separate little ring. And so I picked that up, and we'd already been in the unit earlier, and we'd used the master set. And so later in the day, we're going back. We needed to get the tables. And so as we were getting ready to leave, there was a very clear in my spirit voice that said, you need to take the other keys. Now I'm thinking, this is the key. It's always been the key. And sometimes I'm not listening as carefully as I should. But yesterday, I, from the front door, walked back, got that big wad of keys, took them with me. And when we got to the storage unit, which was like a 20, 30-minute drive, the key that was on my key ring did not fit the lock. But the key was on the big master set of keys. And had I not listened and went back and got that wad of keys, I would have missed an opportunity to see God. Now, some people would say, boy, you're really lucky. You know, that saves you an hour of time. It had nothing to do with me whatsoever. I am a child of the King. I am a child of the King. I want you to know that I am preferred, and I don't apologize for it. I'm preferred because I'm a child of the King. And I don't have to be super-de-duper-de smart. I just need to learn to listen better. And God knew exactly when we were in earlier that lock got changed and they both looked the same. I didn't know. I didn't know any difference. And we would have ended up just wasting all of that time. You say, well, that's a little thing, Jonathan. That's not a big deal. But God is working with me. We need to take note of the fact that God is at work in your house. God is at work in your car. God is at work in your finances. God is at work in your family. God is at work in our nation. God is at work with us. With us. And it's awesome. And so somehow or another, 10 of the spies didn't understand that God planned to work through them to give them the land. Somehow or another, they had an entitlement mentality. They had this idea, God, give it to me and get rid of all the giants before you do that. I don't want any opposition. I don't want any challenges. I don't want to have to struggle. I don't want to have warfare. I don't want to deal with any of that. God, you take care of all of that and then give me the land. I believe the 10 were looking for that kind of a gift. But God was looking for somebody that was willing and able to work with Him. God's looking for someone that's going to be a partner with Him and believe Him and agree to work with Him. And here's Joshua and Caleb, two out of the 12. And they're like, hey, let's go right now. Let's go. So here they are. They're saying, we're certainly able. They said, they have no protection. What was Joshua and Caleb saying when they said, these big giants are vulnerable? What were they saying? They were saying, we know that if God is sending us, God is going to take care of those big giants. They are vulnerable. They're going to fall. They say, but the Lord is with us. The Lord is with us. Don't be afraid of them because the Lord is with us. Let me take you to Mark's gospel. Let's go to Mark chapter 16. Mark 16. In Mark 16, we have one of the passages, Matthew as well. Another passage where we have what we call the Great Commission, you know, go into all the world. It's right here in verse 15. And preach the good news to everyone, everywhere. And anyone who believes and is baptized will be saved. But anyone who refuses to believe will be condemned. And verse 19 says, when the Lord had finished talking with him, he was taken up into heaven. That's the ascension. Set down at the place of honor at God's right hand. And the disciples, verse 20, I want you to see this. And the disciples went where? Where? The disciples went where? So the disciples went everywhere and they preached and something was happening. What was happening? And the Lord worked with them. Where did the Lord work with them? Everywhere. Everywhere. Wherever they went, the Lord was working with them. Is there anyone in this room that has that kind of a testimony? That wherever I've been, God has been working with me. I have been working with God. I am not, when Jesus said, I'll never leave you, I'll never forsake you, what is He saying? He's not just saying, I'm hanging out up in heaven at God's right hand. He's also saying, my Holy Spirit is with you and in you, and you will never be left alone. I'm going to sustain you. I am working with you. Isn't that amazing that God would work with us? Say, well, does that mean we always get it right? No. And you know when I don't get it right? It's when I steer off the trail and try it on my own. Hey, God, I have a great idea for you. Listen up, God. I've got a great plan. And God is never impressed with my great plan. And let me tell you why. I'm beginning to learn. I'm a slow learner, but I'm beginning to learn. What I'm beginning to learn is when I have a great plan, I plan based upon what I see, what I understand, what is within my reach, what is my realm of opportunities, who I know. I work with what is tangible in my hands. But God's plan most often calls us beyond all of our resources. And we look at our life and we go, ah, I can't do that. And God says, that's right, it's we. It's not you, it's we. I didn't call you to do this. We will do this together. Your husband, you have family, your wife, you have children, you have challenges. And the enemy's going to say, I'm winning. They're giants. There's giants. My family has giants in it. And even in Thanksgiving season, I'm aware of the fact that there are spiritual wars that are going on in my family. What about your family? And I'm, you know what? I'm thankful because God is telling me this morning, it's not you, Jonathan. It's we are going to see my work accomplished. I'm going to use you. I'm going to speak through you. I'm going to work through you. And I'm going to cause them to be jealous of who I have made you to be. They will look at you and they will say, how could that happen with somebody like that? Because of God. Because of God.
If you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you can do so today. Please pray this simple prayer with me. Lord Jesus, I believe that you are Christ, the Son of the living God, that you died for my sins. I am a sinner. I need a Savior. Lord Jesus, come into my heart and be Lord of my life today. I ask this all in Jesus' name. And fill me with your wonderful Holy Spirit. Amen.
You have been listening to Living the Abundant Life with Pastor Jonathan McLean, coming to you from Abundant Life Assembly of God Church. If you would like to be a partner with us in support of this ministry, you may do so by going to AbundantLifeStewart.com. Please send all correspondence to Abundant Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1349, Stuart, Florida 34995. Jesus said, I have come that you may have life and have it more abundantly.
Are you winning or losing in the game of life? Do you even know where to find the rules of the game? There are things you do that make life work and things that cause it to come apart. Tune in for Born to Win with Ronald L. Dart right here on WCNO 89.9 FM every Sunday morning at 7. And we'll talk about whether you were born to lose or born to win. And visit us online at borntowin.net.
From heaven to earth, our Savior came. For us on a cross, He bled and died. And from the cross to an empty grave, He rose to life.